Political Watch with Graeme Richardson.
G'day, Richo. How are you this afternoon, mate?
I'm fine, thank you, mate. I'm sitting in the Malaya restaurant.
What was for lunch?
A great lunch with some friends and looking out at the bleak, bleak day that it is.
Send some of it up here, will you? Inland, particularly. We need lots of rain inland, Richo.
Well, it's pouring.
Oh, I wish we could have some up here. It's pouring on the coast up here, but you go 20k inland and it's hardly raining at all.
And that's where they need it.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
About 200k inland where they really need it?
Yeah, absolutely right. Richard, we've been talking about this asylum seeker family this afternoon, and you having lunch, you may not know, but the ruling has come down that the two-year-old girl has been given, a stay of execution until 4 o'clock on Wednesday. But at this stage, the news coming through, they don't say what's happening with the four-year-old and with the mother and the father. Now, as you know, they were flown from Melbourne on their way back to Sri Lanka, but they were overnight in Darwin while this court case was held at 10 o'clock this morning. What's your thoughts? Peter Dutton has gone on TV today and he has said that, they came here separately by boat to escape Sri Lanka's civil war, and that they were told from day one that they would not be allowed to stay in Australia.
Well, I think this is the problem. A lot of people simply want to get on the shore and they don't mind telling a few fibs along the way. And then when they get here, they demand to stay. And either you make a stand and you say, I'll cop refugees if they tell us the truth, if the whole thing's done properly. But if they're going to try and rort the system and jump the queue, then we're going to show them the door.
Right.
And I've got to say, harsh as it may sound, I'd rather take a family off the list than take people who push in.
Richard, I haven't been able to confirm this afternoon, maybe because of your experience and knowledge, you may be able to give us a confirmed yes or no. The two children have been born here in Australia. Does that make them Australians?
Yeah, they're Australian citizens if they're born here.
Right.
You can't take that off them. But that doesn't mean their parents are. And that's the problem.
Right.
The parents, it's very easy to be pregnant, plan to come to Australia and have the child and then say, oh, my child's an Australian, therefore you've got to let me and my partner in. But,
yeah.
But it doesn't work like that, and it shouldn't. If we allow that, mate, then we're going to have an awful lot of extra people coming in.
Yeah, we sure
and
are.
And they won't be planned for. They won't be on any refugee list. They won't be on any immigration quota. They'll just pop in.
So therein lies the problem. If they are given approval to stay here, it opens the floodgates for people to do exactly the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, mate, it's not very difficult to get them to stay. They love staying, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They love staying. And why wouldn't you? It's such a beautiful country. You wrote a couple of really good articles this week in The Australian. Tell me what your thoughts on this ICAC situation. I mean, we've heard from I think, Sam Dastyari. He got the award for the most inventive way to arrive at court yesterday.
Well, I basically ignore what Sam Dastyari says and does, because I think Sam Dastyari's become almost a caricature of himself, and so I don't worry too much about what he says. But nonetheless, I think the ICAC process is so daunting now that people are having breakdowns just because they've got to turn up.
Right.
And it's destroyed someone like Kayla Minade, and it shouldn't have. She's done nothing wrong. You know, anyone would think that she was a child killer. And Kayla Minade has committed no crime. She hasn't ever received a donation she shouldn't have received. She hasn't been wallowing in cash or something. Really, she ought to be... I think people would just back off her because it's done her great harm, not just reputationally, but also in terms of her own personal state is not good, and people should just back off her, right off her.
Do you disagree? Excuse me. Do you disagree with Jodie McKay's actions? Because I'm told, I've read somewhere that she basically took her out of the job before she'd even heard the full report from ICAC.
Well, I'm not sure she did it before then. She probably knew Kayla's state. And I didn't think that there was much chance Kayla would continue on in the job, and I don't think Jodie's done anything terrible in that respect. It's just something that, look, mate, it's an ugly game. and it has ugly results sometimes. And the destruction of Caleb Manane's career is a very ugly thing to happen to a very decent person. And I feel very sad for that. But Jody's got to make sure that life goes on. She's got an election to win.
Okay, with your thoughts on the ICAC situation in New South Wales, there's been talk about a federal ICAC. I would suggest you wouldn't support that.
I couldn't quite hear you because there are some very noisy tables in this place.
That's all right. I'll say it again.
I know one thing for sure. ICAC could always deal with some reform. I'm never satisfied that it's always wonderful. So I think there's plenty of reform that could go. But that having been said, I don't think this is simply a fault of the forum. You know, there are things wrong and there are people who've got questions to answer. Caleb Manane is not among them.
Do you think that we need a national ICAC? It's been suggested.
I think that the state ICAC has caused nothing but mayhem. I think a federal one would be a debacle.
Right.
And then you've got to keep asking yourself, what are they achieving? I mean, what is this achieving? If it does destroy Caleb Manane's career, what does it achieve?
Well, so far that's
destruction of a worthwhile person who was making a great contribution. Now that's the best you can say I've achieved, and you shouldn't be around.
What about donations? Do you think that construction companies should be able to donate to political parties?
Of course I do. I don't see why you should say property developers shouldn't. I think anybody who wants to support one side of politics should. Provided it's open, provided we all know, then as far as I'm concerned, go for your life. Because then after an election, if governments make a decision that favours the person who made the donation, voters will make their mind up.
Should there be a limit as to how much these property developers, for that matter, should there be a limit as to how much anyone can donate to a political party?
Whatever the limits you set, people will always wonder if there were ways to get around the rules.
Right.
I, as far as I'm concerned, maybe $100,000, set that as the limit, I don't know. But I don't think the limit counts. I think it's the openness of the procedure that counts. That's what matters.
Yeah, so what you're saying is anyone and everyone should be able to donate to a political party if they wish to, but it should all be on the record all the time, all above board.
It always has to be on the record.
Okay. What is Scott Morrison going to do? Your other article in The Australia this week talked about Scott Morrison and I suppose relationships that Australia is currently having with China. The relationship at the G7 between the United States and China, it didn't sort the problem out. I suppose there were a lot of people around the world hoping that was going to happen.
It's always going to be problematic for Australia. There'll never be a good time with this. Because the Americans and the Chinese are always going to be running up against each other. And if that's the case, well, then what we've got to do is always stay with your ally. But remember that your trading partner's got to be looked after as well. And so you should be a calming influence on the Americans. And God knows Trump needs calming influences from all over the place.
Yeah, he does. Another bloke that may need calming influences is Boris Johnson. I mean, he prorogued the British Parliament this week. Do you think it's all a bluff?
Who knows with Boris Johnson? Boris Johnson is an erratic politician, and his form suggests that anything can happen from now on. So I'm not prepared to say that this is the end of the matter. Who knows? With Boris Johnson, mate, it's a lottery. You can pick one and still be wrong.
You can't catch. Yeah, true. Richo, it's noisy. I'll let you get back to your noisy lunch, matey.
Okay, mate. Thanks very much.
Good to talk to you. Graeme Richardson this afternoon.